This is VSiN Prime Time. Live from the Circus Sportsbook in downtown Las Vegas on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
We are off and running on a Tuesday night alongside Matt Eumanns. I'm Tim Murray. Matt, we got the Bet Bashers starting to make their way into lovely Las Vegas and here at Circa, and the one and only Brett McMurphy. I was just chatting with him not too long ago, and he's going to join us in studio. So the big shots are coming around. Word on the street, rumor has it, the Bear, Chris Felica, is in town. And I just saw Will Hill, and I think he did about three sets of curls before coming into studio.
Will Hill is here, and he's got his seven or eight kids with him.
I think it's nine, ten.
I don't know. They're not allowed to be in Circa, the kids, so I think he's staying down at the D, but... Yeah, we're seeing a lot of Bet Bashers. We were meeting some outside the studio right before the show tonight. Anytime you have the man, the myth, the mustache, the McMurphy on the show, it's a special show.
Especially in studio. So he will...
How about Jeff Sherman? First time he's a member of the Circus Sports Odds team, he's going to be on the show tonight.
We can revisit our Behind the Counter with Jeff Sherman. Yeah. So excited to talk to Jeff. We'll talk to Matt Grill. David Behrman will jump on the show. So a whole lot going on. As always, just a reminder, the VSiN College Football Betting Guide is out, and we will be talking college football throughout the show as well. But, Matt, you know, we were welcomed to a pretty exciting day yesterday of Major League Baseball. Some comebacks, some big-time performances, some underdogs playing well. And tonight, Matt, in just a little bit, we will see the debut of one Tarik Skubal as a member of the Los Angeles Dodgers, and that is where we start our show.
The lights are on and the stakes are high. It's the primetime game of the night.
You know, we were just talking, I think you and I were both talking to a loyal listener who lives in Chicago, and he said, do the Cubs have a shot tonight against Skubal? I said, yes, I think so. I think they do have a shot. And that is our game of the night. Chicago Cubs, after winning last night 10-5 over the Los Angeles Dodgers, they are pretty significant underdogs. Even though, Matt, last night when we looked at the board, there were some minus $2 out there. And here at Circa, it's down to minus 185. So is there some sharp money coming in on the Chicago Cubs at plus 165 as a home underdog?
Well, I would believe so. I noticed today, if you look at the betting splits, several sports books reporting the Dodgers taking more than 80% of the bets and the money. And when you have a situation like that with a public favorite and lopsided action, a lot of times you will get sharper play on the home dog, and I think that's the situation we have tonight with the Cubs. And also, you got a pitcher going for the Cubs who's got a pretty good background as an underdog.
Tweet today from @bet_labs. Javier Assad, 20-9 straight up in his career at Wrigley Field. 9-2 straight up, Matt, as an underdog. And Assad, the starter tonight for the Chicago Cubs at around plus 165. So to our loyal listener who made a point to stop by the studio, much appreciated to him. He said hello to you, hello to me. And he said, do they have a shot? I said, yeah, they do. And I wouldn't be opposed to a little bet on the Chicago Cubs tonight as a home dog against Skubal.
You wouldn't be opposed to it, but did you make the bet?
I have not yet, Matt. Okay. I am thought about bets last night, and those the ones that didn't play did not fare all that well, or did fare well. So now I'm a little gun shy. I think I'm gonna bet the Chicago Cubs. Does this number go up? Do I wait a little bit? Does a situation like last night unfold? If you remember, Tommy Edman, 3-run homer, top of the first inning, and then the Cubs quickly chipped away at that deficit and had a lead by the end of the second inning. Couple of bets to pass across. Our good friend and colleague, the Big Swede, Dustin Swedelson, on under Skubal strikeouts tonight, 7.5. He likes the Dodgers team total over 5.5. And Joe Sheehan also likes the Cubs money line. Javier Assad over strikeouts from Zachary Cohen. So a couple of bets over on our VSiN Pro page, vsin.com/picks. So some bets for our game of the night, Dodgers-Cubs.
Second night in a row, Game of the night, Dodgers-Cubs at Wrigley Field. Dodgers have dropped four in a row, Tim. So trying to stop that losing streak tonight. Joe Sheehan got a good price on the Cubs this morning, plus 183. Right now it's, well, plus 165 here at Circa.
Yeah, overnight there were some juicy prices. There were some north of $2 prices on the Los Angeles Dodgers. Right now, as you look across the board, looks like the best price you can get. Looks like FanDuel and DraftKings in that plus 175-ish range. So that would be the best price that is out there right now. Dodgers-Cubs are game of the night. You know what, Matt? I'm in on the Cubs.
Are you?
Go Cubs, go. Plus 176 at FanDuel. Let's lock that one in. I'll bet that one during the break, but we got a couple other games. Another game about to get underway. How about White Sox, Red Sox? Red Sox, arguably the hottest team in all of baseball. Very busy at the trade deadline. And the Chicago White Sox, your leaders in the American League Central, just like we all predicted preseason. And the Boston Red Sox at around $1.44 favorite tonight against the Chicago White Sox at home at Fenway Park. Who would have thunk preseason that one of the more important games on August 4th would be White Sox, Red Sox?
Well, the Red Sox are as hot as it gets right now. They're off a sweep of the Dodgers. I think we were talking about this last night. What, 21-3 in the last 24 games?
Yep.
That's not a team you want to bet against, but the White Sox, hot too. Martin going against Sandoval, the lefty, and I guess if I played it, it would be the White Sox plus 135. It looks like 137 might be the best number out there. But Martin has been really shaky lately. He got off to a really good start. Mike Palm and I were here on a Friday night talking about Martin for the White Sox and how impressive he had been early in the season. But, Tim, he's definitely come back to earth. You look over his last five or six starts, not really a bet on pitchers. So I had to pass on the White Sox. And really priced out of laying that number with the Red Sox at about 145.
Matt, about to get underway. Hashtag Yankees update. Looks like a beautiful night in the Bronx. Last night, it was not beautiful if you bet the Yankees. It was beautiful if you did bet the Cardinals in game. It was 7-6. Luis Garcia Jr. making his presence felt with authority in his Yankees debut. Made it a 7-6 lead. And then 7 unanswered for the Cardinals. Yeah. Tonight, Matt, we get the New York Yankees at home. First pitch just moments away. Weathers toeing the rubber. Pretty big favorites are the Bronx Bombers, north of $2.
Well, the Yankees were the biggest favorites on last night's card, and they bombed. Like you said, a lot had to do with the bullpen. Aaron Boone, he's got the knack for making the wrong move when he goes to the bullpen. It was all the wrong moves last night, but it was more about Cam Schwitler, who's really poor in his start. His numbers on the road, I was looking at Cam Schwitler's numbers on the road. I'll mention those later in the show tonight. Just remarkable. It's Bob Gibson-like what he's doing on the road. At home, he stinks. Weathers has been decent at home, and he's been a somewhat reliable starter for the Yankees, actually off a really strong start. But I'm not going to lay this type of price with a Yankees team, by the way, that's got three new faces in the lineup tonight. I looked at the Yankees. One of those was in the lineup last night, and that was Luis Garcia, who had a three-run. Was that a three or a two-run homer?
Two-run homer, I believe.
Two-run homer last night. You've got Luis Garcia batting in the three spot tonight. Helio Ramos batting cleanup spot. The Yankees just acquired him from the Giants. And then George Lombard Jr. A lot of hype about this shortstop, top prospect for the Yankees. This guy called up. Anthony Volpe got sent down. Lombard's going to be batting eighth tonight, so something to get excited about here if you're a Yankees fan, that you've got three new faces in the lineup, including George Lombard, who you hope is going to develop into the future at shortstop.
So Yankees, Cardinals just about to get underway at Yankee Stadium, the Nationals and the Phillies. After the Phillies came back, and beat the Nationals last night. That one, a Phillies 1-0 lead underway at Citizens Bank Park. The Milwaukee Brewers, Matt, Brewer fans not too pleased about the lack of activity. Plenty of other folks not pleased about it. And then they went out and lost to the Pirates last night. Mm-hmm. So Logan Henderson, he has been a big-time performer this year. For the Brewers, Jared Jones gets a start for the Pirates. How about a total of 7 tonight at AmFam Field?
Jared Jones is one of those pitchers who's got a lot of potential. Hasn't really delivered on it yet, but he shows flashes of it. I just don't like the way the Brewers are playing. They got shut out by the Angels on Sunday, lose again last night. You would think this is a good bounce back spot for Henderson, but again, baseball betting is so much about the price, and you don't want to be laying 140 consistently. I don't love the way Milwaukee's playing, and if it's one thing if the Brewers are hot, Tim, it's a lot easier to lay the 140, but they're not.
Matt, the price on the Chicago Cubs, you talked about it last night as we were watching those two games unfold simultaneously. Cubs win 10-5, cut the deficit down to 5.5. The price on the Cubs during that win, and even after the win, was plus 450 for the Cubs to win the division at DraftKings. At this very moment, that number has dropped 80 cents down to plus 370.
I think FanDuel still has plus 410 if you like the Cubs to win the division. Last night, that was the best number I could find was Cubs plus 410. But you're right, it was 450 during our show last night.
All right, Matt, I am in. I have placed a bet on tonight's Cubs-Dodgers game. Call me chicken, if you will, but I took the run line on the Cubs, plus 1.5 at plus 105. So still plus money, but I am in on the Cubs tonight, plus 1.5 against Tarik Skubal and the Dodgers. So I am in on that game. What could possibly go wrong, Matt? Betting baseball, fading Skubal in his debut.
I love the way the Cubs are playing right now. They're a hot team, confident team, and I do think they're going to – I said it's going to be a photo finish, a race to the wire in that division, and I don't mind that. I kind of like that bet on the Cubs tonight.
That's Matt Eumanns. I'm Tim Murray. Underway, America's Insider. Brett McMurphy in studio with us coming up bottom of the hour.
You're here because you want an edge. That's what separates listeners from winners. But let's be real, mindset alone doesn't get bets home. Pros win because they've got the tools, the data, and the discipline. And now so can you. Visa Pro gives you access to the same real-time insights the sharps use. No secrets, no fluff, just actionable info that moves markets. Tap the link and see why serious bettors are turning knowledge into profit with Visa Pro.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Alongside Matt Eumanns, I'm Tim Murray. Yankees Cardinals underway, Yankee Stadium, as hopefully a 1-2-3 inning for Mr. Weathers and the Yankees. About to get underway in Boston as well, between the White Sox and the Red Sox. Our game of the night, Matt, will be taking place at Wrigley Field for a second straight night. Last night, the fireworks at Wrigley Field were quite entertaining. Early start for the Dodgers, quickly the lead taken back, and the Cubs would go on to get the victory last night, 10-5. Can they do it tonight against Tarik Skubal, the ace acquired at the deadline by the Los Angeles Dodgers? 1-2-3 inning, Matt, for Weathers and the Yankees. And a good start out there at Yankee Stadium.
Yeah, last night at this time, I believe Cam Schwitler had, 30 pitches in the first inning?
Yeah.
So a much more efficient start to the game tonight for Weathers. Positive start for the Yankees. And so far, I believe the only run in a baseball game is in Philadelphia, correct? Wait, the Mets. The Mets struck for three at Cleveland.
The Cleveland Guardians, who were busy at the deadline, acquired Joe Adell, Foster Griffin from the Washington Nationals. Joe Adell, of course, from the Los Angeles Angels. And the New York Mets were on selling away their pieces. And lo and behold, wouldn't you know it, in their first game after selling off some pieces, they're up 3-0, as you alluded to, in the bottom of the second inning. So lots of baseball going on as we speak. We will keep you updated on the big, important games. Braves and Marlins also underway as well. That one down in the ATL. And coming up in about 25 minutes, Brewers taking on the Pittsburgh Pirates. Did you end up making a bet on the Cubs to win the division?
Well, I do. I got the Cubs at plus 410. And that's because I've got the Brewers at plus 275 before the season. And I just wanted to lock that in. I'm starting to get nervous. When I watched the Miz lose to the Angels on Sunday, this is a bad sign. If you can't beat the Angels with the Cy Young favorite on the mound and you get shut out, Brewers been a little bit shaky lately anyway. I think they've kind of taken advantage of a softer schedule. They got seven games left with the Cubs. And I thought the Cubs made some aggressive moves at the deadline. And I like the moves that the Cubs made. And, you know, they've overcome some of the pitching injuries they had early in the season, getting their act together. And I think the Cubs are going to be a serious threat here down the stretch. We see it every year in baseball, Tim. I was talking about this with Derek Stevens a few weeks ago. Every year after the All-Star break, you see a couple of teams come from the pack and bust out and go on big runs in the second half. And I think the Cubs could be one of those teams. Now, I think Chris Rose went on a rant about the Brewers.
He did.
And I know you like this rant. We'll get to it. And I agree with a lot of what he said. You know, it's not too often the Milwaukee Brewers have had a team capable of winning a World Series. And I thought if they went for Skubal and put him behind Miz and then that rotation, that the Brewers would have a shot to take down the Dodgers. They did not make that move, obviously. Dustin May is probably not going to be the move that puts the Brewers over the top.
Not going to be shaking in your boots for Dustin May coming out after the Miz.
Although Dustin May's on his fourth team in the last 3 years for a reason, right?
Yeah, so look, the Brewers, the way that they have gone about business, I mean, when they traded Caleb Durbin this offseason after finishing third in NL Rookie of the Year, I'm like, what are they doing?
Right.
Well, it's worked out quite well, right? So we'll see if these minor moves end up playing well for the Milwaukee Brewers. But I think some Brewer fans not thrilled at the lack of activity by the Brewers at the deadline. By the way, Tyrone Taylor will make his Cubs debut tonight for the Chicago Cubs. He was acquired from the New York Mets yesterday along with Clay Holmes for one of the top prospects in the Cubs organization. So Tyrone Taylor tonight is batting sixth, making his Cubs debut against the Los Angeles Dodgers. Maybe not the biggest debut at Wrigley Field tonight.
Skubal pitching for the Dodgers is going to be
a little bit bigger than Tyrone Taylor making his Cubs debut.
It's going to be hyped up quite a bit tonight. But, you know, the hype can work against a player and against a team sometimes, too. Skubal probably a little bit distracted, maybe not as focused as he needs to be going into this. A lot of hype around this first start. How about the Skubal props tonight? His strikeout prop can't be that low, can it?
No, I'm checking it right now. Yeah, we're gonna change the graphic. We're not gonna show the graphic because it is 7.5, but it is 18.5 outs, 7.5 strikeouts, Matt. And right now, looking at some of the pricing out there, you can get over 7.5 strikeouts for +105 right now on Skubal against the Chicago Cubs.
Yeah, I don't know. I think Dustin Sweetelson had a play under 7.5 strikeouts.
Yep.
I would probably look that way, if anything. 4.5 hits allowed, under a +115. To record a win, no +115. Like, Dodgers not playing great baseball right now. They've lost four in a row, just got swept by the Red Sox. We've talked about that at length the last couple days. And they got some guys in the lineup who are not really hitting. Mookie Betts batting .225. You know, it's as much as the Dodgers are being propped up as invincible, I don't think that's the case. But when we get to October, they're going to be tough to handle because the pitching staff's ridiculous.
Yeah, and we saw that last year. They ended up having to play in the wild card round a year ago before going on to win the World Series. They swept the Cincinnati Reds in that opening round, did the Los Angeles Dodgers, and the Brewers had the best record in baseball. Matt, coming up in just a little bit, we're going to welcome in our good friend Brett McMurphy, who is going to talk about his gallivanting across the Media Day circuits. He went to the SEC, ACC, and Big 12 Media Days. Didn't make it out to the Big 10 Media Days, had some travel issues. But Matt, over at VSiN.com, of course, our college football betting guide is out right now. And I want to get your thoughts on the Texas Longhorns here, because Aaron Moore, our good friend, the professor, has Texas to win the national championship as a best bet. Dave Tooley has Texas to win the SEC and the national title as a best bet. And Steve Mackinnon has Texas to make the college football playoff at a pretty pricey minus $2. But there is a lot of hype regarding this Texas team. We will find out a lot about them in week two when they host Ohio State in a primetime game. When you made your power ratings and you put it in the VSiN College Football Betting Guide, where did you come out on Texas, and where are you on the Texas hype heading into 2026?
Texas got everything it needs to be a national title contender if Arch Manning is the real deal. Now, Arch played much better in the second half last season, but he also did that against the weaker defenses on the schedule. So I still need to see a little bit more from Arch. And I also need to see more from Sark. Steve Sarkisian has really come up short. He's had some brain cramps and some most important moments in the biggest games the last couple of years. And I don't trust Sark as a game manager in the big games. Now, I do like Texas in that game against Ohio State in week two. Remember last year, Tim, I believe the Longhorns outgained the Buckeyes by about 120 yards in that game.
That game put football back a little while.
Well, it was a horrible play calling by Sark.
Yeah.
And a horrible play by Manning. Manning and Sark both stunk in that game. And this is going to be a chance for redemption against Ohio State team. It's got a bunch of new faces on defense. A lot of guys gone to the NFL, and I think Texas should be able to win a week two game. But if you look at the rest of the Longhorns' schedule, at Tennessee, Oklahoma in the Red River game, Florida, Ole Miss, at Missouri, at LSU, at Texas A&M, it's possible. I'm not saying it's going to happen. I think Texas is probably going to be a 10-2 team, but it's possible that Texas is going to be a 9-3 team and make the playoff. Here's a good question for you. Will a three-loss team make the college football playoff this year?
I will say yes.
I'm going to say yes, too.
I think the 11
is going to be the favorite.
I think the 11 seed and maybe even the 10 seed will be a three-loss team, most likely from the SEC. And you know what? I actually want to ask Brett McMurphy about this when he joins us in studio because he was at SEC Media Days. The SEC is moving to a nine-game schedule with a Power 5 or Power 4 team on that schedule. So how are those coaches feeling? Because they were not too pleased by the whole situation. So curious about that with the 12-team playoff. And let's be honest, last year, Matt, does the committee play the results game? Because the SEC did not beat a Power 4 team that was not an SEC team in the playoff, right? Ole Miss, they beat Georgia and Tulane. Alabama beat Oklahoma, but then when they went to play another Power 4 level team, they all fell on their face.
How about Indiana 38, Alabama 3? Is that falling on your face? I believe it is.
Alabama. Really needed to see them after that SEC championship performance, Matt. But just a reminder, folks, it's a beaut. 345 pages, every single team previewed. A top 50 teams from Matt Eumanns and Paul Stone. Best bets, all for just $9.99. VSiN.com/subscribe. The College Football Betting Guide is out now.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the sports betting network.
The red hot Red Sox up 5-0 on the Chicago White Sox. So the Red Sox in the bottom of the first inning have already struck for five, and I believe a sixth is about to be hit here in just a moment. So it is now 6-0 Red Sox, and we get a home run, Matt. Jazz Chisholm hitting a homer at Yankee Stadium. So they heard that their arch rival was getting a little hot, and they have decided to answer themselves.
It's no hotter than the Red Sox right now. And, you know, I mentioned that Davis Martin for the White Sox has been really shaky in his last five or six starts. And, Tim, this is going to be a short start for him tonight.
Chad Durbin, how about a grand slam for the former Milwaukee Brewer? Hey, look who's in studio. It's America's Insider, Brett McMurphy. He has joined us here, kind enough to hang out with us. And I won't even pretend. We're going to hold him for two segments. You know, I always like to do the nice thing. Hey, could you hang out for one? Yeah. He's going to do two.
Has anyone ever said no?
I don't know.
That's a bad move.
It's not a good sign. You know, you ask them. I never like doing it. I'm trying to think if it's ever happened before. I have had one of those radio junkets where they're like, I got to go. I got to go. So, but he's not going to do that right now. Brett in town for Bet Bash. He and I are going to be chatting with the folks tomorrow, talk a little college football. I want to ask you the question I posed on air yesterday, or just last segment, which is, you were at SEC Media Day. They're moving to a 9-game conference schedule with a Power 4 team on the schedule.
Right.
What was the discussion amongst the coaches about this schedule without the playoff expanding to 16 or 24?
Yeah, Tim, look, they don't like it. They talked about it in May. I was at spring meetings in Destin. They basically said they were misled. They were led to believe that if they expanded to a 9-game conference schedule, that the college football playoff would go from 12 to at least 16. They go to 9 games, it doesn't expand. So now they are literally freaking out. I mean, Eli Drinkwitz of Missouri talked about how other conferences like the Big Ten in Indiana has an unfair advantage because they aren't required to play a non-conference power team. The SEC does have to do that. But I think, you know, I think it's really going to have a huge impact on the SEC this year. I know a lot of people are doing their playoff projections. They've got 4 or 5 SEC teams in the field. Guys, I don't think it's going to happen because I think they are going to beat each other up. And whether you buy into the strength of schedule and all that, they are the most competitive league. I do believe that. They are the strongest league from top to bottom. Doesn't mean they're going to have the national champion, but I do think they are going to beat each other up. And the number one example is you look at the win totals, Matt. You look at, there's only 2 teams in the SEC that are at 9.5 or higher, and that's Texas and Georgia. If you don't have more than 2 teams with double-digit wins from the SEC, they're not going to get more than 2 teams in the playoff. I don't see a 9-3 team getting in the playoff unless they're just mass destruction and chaos everywhere else.
Yeah, we were talking about that. I would make it a favorite for a 3-loss team to reach the college football playoff this year. We're going to see if Circa will put up that prop. Will a 3-loss team make the playoff field? And I think there's a decent chance an SEC team that played a strong schedule with 3 losses is going to get into the playoff.
I think they've got a chance, but again, they're looking at the 11-year history of the college football playoff. They can talk about strength of schedule. They can talk about all these different factors that they supposedly consider. The only consistency they've had with all these different committees that are always different individuals is they value the fewest number of losses every single time. Will this be a different year? We'll have to find out. But if you've got 4 Big Ten teams with 10 wins, if you've got 2 Big 12, if you've got a couple from the ACC, if you've got Notre Dame, Tim, you got some green paint on your face right there. You got your.
They better not lose 2 games this year.
You better not.
With that schedule.
You got the group of six team that gets in. It's a possibility, but I'm just saying I don't think it's an automatic.
Right.
So when you look at the SEC, Brett McMurphy, kind enough to hang with us on 3. You could follow him on Twitter at Brett_McMurphy. Going back to your time down at the SEC Media Day, I've contended, and maybe I'm crazy, and I know they were number 3 in the coaches poll today. I'm not saying no one's talking about Georgia, but it feels like it's a little quieter around Georgia. What was the discussion with Georgia, with Texas, with LSU, obviously, and Lane, Ole Miss with Chambliss coming back? What was the overwhelming kind of discussion down at SEC Media Days? What teams were talked about the most?
Yeah, you're right. It's funny. You know, as far as, quote, winning the press conference or winning the media days, Florida's John Summerall took the gold medal with his comments without question. You know, Pete Golding of Ole Miss was a distant second. But, yeah, it's funny. Georgia's won the last 2 SEC titles, and they haven't got to a national title game. And Kirby Smart was asked about that. And he basically said it without saying it, so I'll tell you kind of co-speak what he meant. Basically, playing in that conference championship game and winning that conference championship game has somewhat been a disadvantage for Georgia because they've gone through a tougher road. For instance, they played Ole Miss last year in the playoff.
Right.
Ole Miss did not go to the college football playoff. Ole Miss beat Georgia. Were they fresher? Who knows? Is it a cop-out? Who knows? But Georgia's in a weird place where they've won two SEC titles. Nobody wants to talk about their defending back-to-back SEC championships. They want to talk about the SEC's gone three consecutive years with not only not winning a national championship, but even getting a team to the final. And that irks a lot of SEC fans.
Well, it's cyclical too, right? The SEC dominated for so many years.
But, I mean, there's a lot of Big Ten noise around here. They can beat their chest. Sure. Look, I'm not anti-SEC, pro-Big Ten. And, you know, basically I just say I hate all of your teams equally. Right. But Brett Bielema had a great response to this and a great analogy. And he is – yes, the SEC deserves credit for winning 13 championships in a 17-year span, mm-hmm. but it's not realistic to compare that time to now because you've had two monumental changes, and that's the NIL and that's the transfer portal. And since those things have taken effect, the Big Ten has won three titles and the SEC hasn't. I agree, Matt, it's cyclical, but I think those are major developments that we hadn't had before, where if you had a great recruiting class, which the SEC teams routinely had, you locked those players in for 3, 4, 5 years. Now you don't have that luxury. Guys can flip teams overnight, every week, whatever they can. And so you can't just hoard all the talent. I think that part of that's the reason the Big Ten has had a great deal of success, and some of it's luck also.
Jim Harbaugh also did a great job at Michigan, right?
Yeah.
Those were incredibly talented teams, and you can say whatever you want about the corruption off the field at Michigan, but Ohio State follows that up, and Indiana beats Ohio State in the Big Ten title game and then destroys Alabama and Oregon. So as far as Kirby talking about playing in the SEC championship game and having a tougher road, how about the road Indiana had?
Yeah, and Cignetti, look, their schedule, and, you know, they dropped the Notre Dame series. They will not right now. They are scheduled out through 2031 or 2032.
That's a joke.
They do not have a Power Five non-conference team on their schedule. I would call it a cupcake schedule, but I don't want to offend any cupcakes that are listening in right now. But flip side is, who cares?
They won the title.
Undefeated 16-0. They beat 6-7 teams. In the regular season, of course, three of those were in the playoff, plus the Big Ten title game, plus a couple of Big Ten teams in the regular season. So were they fresher at the end of the year? Maybe, maybe not. Bottom line is they won the title, yep. And nobody cares what the schedule was.
Right, Ohio State, Alabama, Oregon, Miami, basically in a road game.
Yeah.
So how about – you've covered college football a long time. I have, too. I've never seen a better story than Kurt Cignetti.
Oh, it's unbelievable.
Indiana going 16-0, winning the whole thing. And how do you feel about the Hoosiers' chances of getting close to doing that again?
You at this point, it's fool's gold to doubt Cignetti, but I don't think they're going to repeat. I mean, we've only had, you know, a couple of teams that have repeated in the last 20 years. Georgia did it 4 or 5 years ago. Matt, I think the biggest thing is Cignetti took advantage by bringing in the guys from James Madison, and that paid off. Well, now all those James Madison guys, I think there's one left, have moved on. So now you truly do have a new nucleus. Obviously, you know, Hoover's replacing Mendoza at quarterback. I mean, the schedule, look, I don't see how they don't get to the playoff. And then at that point, who knows what can happen. Mm-hmm. I just think, though, being the defending champ, people look at you differently. Cignetti said he's going to fight complacency. He's going to stalk complacency in the program. I just think it's in this day and age, it's so hard to repeat. I do think they will make the playoff. I know the coaches poll came out today. It's not the AP poll, but historically, 19 of the last 22 teams, excuse me, national champions, 19 of the last 22 national champions ranked in the top 7 in the preseason poll. So we're looking at Ohio State, Oregon, Georgia, Texas, Notre Dame, Indiana, and Miami.
And I think based off of the odds, those are the 7 top teams to win the national championship. More with Brett McMurphy next.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the sports betting network.
And not stand for a Hall of Fame.
It is VSiN Primetime. Brett McMurphy of On3 with us here in studio at Brett_McMurphy. America's Insider. We do have some big baseball games, including our game of the night, which won't start till the top of the hour. Cubs taking on Tarik Skubal and the Los Angeles Dodgers. Big start here for the Red Sox as they are out to, what is it, a 6-0 lead. Bottom of the sixth inning. Already a grand slam in that one. And hashtag Yankees update, Matt. Yankees up 1-0 on the Cardinals. That game in the bottom of the first inning. Brett, out and about. I don't think you went home during the month of July as you were at all these media days. It feels like the Big 12 was many moons ago. But I've talked about it, I feel like, ad nauseum. I still think Texas Tech at even money is worth a bet to win that conference. Their schedule's Charmin soft. And I still think from a talent standpoint, they're better than everybody else. And if you're at even money, you have them in the Big 12 championship game, you can get off of that. Joey McGuire, what was his tenor at Big 12 Media Day? Are they going to have the old proverbial chip on their shoulder with all of this Brendan Sorsby stuff in the background?
Yeah, I think so. And again, when that was going on, there was still a question whether Sorsby was going to be able to play. He had, you know, got the temporary injunction, so technically there was a possibility he could play. Obviously, that's been determined. Will Hammond's the guy at quarterback. But yeah, Tim, I agree with you, and that's a great bet that you have with Tech to win the Big 12, because then you can hedge that thing out. You look at the schedule. I'm not saying that I'm into conspiracy theories, but I will say this. As far as the teams that are power rated the best in the Big 12, Tech's one, BYU, Utah, 2 and 3, and then you get down into Houston, TCU's, Arizona, Kansas, etc. Tech does not play number 2 BYU. They do not play number 3 BYU. They do play the 4th, 5th, 6th, and 7th best teams.
In Lubbock.
And then the rest of their 5 games are against the bottom half of the Big 12. They are, by most projections I've seen, rated at least a double-digit favorite in every game going into the season. I think the closest spread is at Oklahoma State, where they're only 10. That obviously will change if the Cowboys are legit or if they're not. But yeah, I just don't see them. I don't see any challenges for them. The biggest challenge for them is complacency. And, you know, with that schedule, though, if they don't win the Big 12 title, I don't think they have a strong enough schedule to get in at large. So, Matt, you talked about a 9-3 SEC team over an 11-1 Tech team that does not win the Big 12.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I think just strength of schedule alone, you would have to go with an SEC team in that scenario.
Who do you think made more crazy bets, Brendan Sorsby or Shohei Ohtani's interpreter?
I would go with Tim Murray, Dampier to win the Heisman. Trumps them all.
Hey, that's only 2 times. It's only 2 times. We got a chance this year.
Do you have any Heisman long shots, or do you have outside the top 10?
Avery Johnson, Brett? By the way, quick story. I've told it before. I'll tell it real briefly. Brett and I were sitting in this sportsbook 2 years ago, Big 12 Media Day, and I think it was a Kansas State blogger or something.
I'm not sure.
Had a couple pops. He walks up to me and Brett. We're just chatting. Tell me why Avery Johnson, or how Avery Johnson, doesn't win the Heisman Trophy. I'm like, I don't know. Yeah. The season plays out.
Yeah, I don't know.
Now he's 80-1 to win the Heisman Trophy. So
80-1. This probably makes for bad show content. I really don't like any players to win the Heisman. Okay. I just think it's a crapshoot. It really is. I mean, you look at you can take a long shot on somebody. Maybe you hit it with a Mendoza or a Travis Hunter and you're a genius, but I don't think you can sit there and break it down and say, oh, I really like this guy and he's going to do it.
This time a year ago, the highly respected ESPN FPI had Indiana ranked where?
I don't know, because they only ranked the top 25 and they were not in their top 25.
Really?
Imagine that.
The ESPN FPI didn't have Indiana top 25?
How crazy is that?
They had all 16 SEC teams.
The same ESPN FPI that has all 16 SEC teams in their top 20 this year. And now, surprise, that's why they have the strongest schedule. So, you know, speaking of conspiracy theories.
Well, seriously, though, somebody asked me this question the other day, and I said, I like BYU, but I don't know if I could get there with a bet. Outside of teams ranked in the top 10, who's a longer shot like Indiana was a year ago that you think could go deep into the playoff? Is there a team like that off the radar a little bit? Outside the top 10, it could be a playoff team.
Oh, wow.
You know, win a game or two or something like that.
Outside the top 10, I mean, maybe Texas Tech. They are talented. If Hammond is a legit quarterback, there's some people that think that if Hammond was healthy, they never would have went after Sorsby. We'll have to see if he's legit or not. They shouldn't really be tested again in the Big 12. I do like BYU. We're going to find out them
October 17th.
Drink again. We've mentioned Notre Dame on a Tim Murray show.
By the way, I just want to give a shout out to our good friend Chris Massaro. He said if it weren't for BYU being nice, Notre Dame would have been left out without a big game. So BYU will be playing the biggest game in that stadium's maybe history.
Probably ever, yeah.
Yeah, but they were being nice.
As long as Notre Dame opt out, yeah, they will play at BYU.
Hey, we wanted the real thing in Provo, not in Orlando in the Pop-Tarts Bowl.
Oh, yeah,
ball,
God forbid
on,
that. I mean, looking at the chart there, Matt, I think Texas Tech's a possibility. I see LSU on there. I'm not drinking the Kool-Aid. I think I don't want to say they're overrated because they're the 13th choice. But I just think there's going to be so many expectations on Lane Kiffin, which could be good or bad. Long term, that's bad because if you don't win a national championship in Baton Rouge, as Brian Kelly found out, it's NFL, not for long.
Brett McMurphy hanging out with us for just a couple more minutes. Brett, you've been doing this a long time, so you, I think, can sift through the BS from a coach and you know how they talk. Was there a coach or two in your makings around these media days that you said, man, he's really in on his quarterback, in on his team, just had a glow to him that you actually believed? Everyone's optimistic this time of year. Everything's great. We're going to go undefeated. But you could kind of parse through that. Was there a coach or two that you felt like, man, this guy's, he really likes what he's got?
Well, I'll go the flip side first. Okay. And I won't say any names, but if you guys heard any of the media days, they'll jump out at you. Any coach that got up there at media days and talked about how aligned they were with the athletic director and the president means they're on the hot seat and they're literally out the door. The two coaches in the offseason and at media days that I thought showed the most confidence, and it doesn't mean they're going to be successful, but you usually don't exude that amount of confidence unless you really feel really good. And that's Steve Sarkisian at Texas, and that's Mario Cristobal at Miami. I think they feel really good about their teams, and for good reason. I think Miami's in a better position at quarterback. I think Mensah is a better combination of Cam Ward and
Carson Beck.
Yeah, Barty blanked on him. Carson Beck.
Cardinals starter in the Hall of Fame game, Carson
there
Beck.
You go.
Put some
there
respect
you go.
On his name.
Texas, the most talented team they've had. Credit to the media, not me, that said Arch Manning was going to win multiple Heismans and be the greatest player of all time. I won't say who said that, but his initials are Paul Feinbaum. And then later on,
Mel Kiper say that about Jimmy Clausen at Notre Dame.
Yeah, Beano Cook, Ron Paulus, the list goes on and on. And then the same media then turned and called him the biggest bust in the history of college football. Isn't it great to be in the media? But no, I think Arch survived that. They brought in, you know, some great talent, a wide receiver. They're really loaded. What concerns me about Texas is their schedule we were joking about the FPI with the SEC. Texas does play one of the hardest schedules in the country. Ohio State out of the non-conference. But I think Sark really is confident about Texas. What worries me about wanting to back Texas for a national championship pick is, and again, each year is different, but you look at last year, they could have lost two more. They should have.
Right, lost Matt? The game of Kentucky.
Mississippi State.
Yeah, yeah. So
they got smoked by Florida.
So on one hand, Sark says, if we would have played Jones Junior High instead of Ohio State, direct quote, we would have been in the playoff.
Whatever.
Yeah, but also if you wouldn't have lost to Florida, you would have been in the playoff. So I'm kind of torn there with Texas. But the way Sark was, he saw the offseason quotes from Sark, you know, comparing Ole Miss's scheduled a basket weaving and some other stuff. He feels good about his team. And Cristobal, I think, very, very privately, very quietly, it likes the people that don't think he can run it back again.
Brett McMurphy on three at Brett_McMurphy. America's insider, our own Brett McMurphy. Once upon a time,
always,
it's called
always.
That. There he is, Brett McMurphy. Make sure you follow him on social media. How about Circus Sports' newest employee, Jeff Sherman? He'll join us next. It is VSiN Primetime.
What was that inside joke? Who called you our own?